Jared and the GM live at Bridgestone Arena, Pete and Terry's Tap House, or a Tavern. Again, Preds tonight, pregame in 1 hour. And, of course, the puck drop is at 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll have Ask the GM. We're going to push that back. We'll have that coming up later. Jared and the GM, we were able to sit down with ESPN's Trevor Maddich as we broke down this weekend what's upcoming in college football earlier this week. Jared and the GM, we are live at Bridgestone Arena. Oh, goodness gracious. Ian, is Trevor there? Okay, so we're working on getting Trevor Maddich. We just got a lot going on right now out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Just a lot going on. Sorry, Dave. We got a lot going on. So, anywho.
My dog got sick this morning. It looked very much like
that. Yeah, there's a little bit of a mistake over there. My bad. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, anywho. So, I believe America has gone soft. Do you want to know where I think America's gone soft at?
Okay. Because they carry bags of protein shake around with them.
Hey, I'm trying to drink a protein shake, and I knocked the thing over. But you know what? At least I did it away from the broadcast equipment. I feel bad because I got it all over their equipment. But at least I got it away from the broadcast equipment, which, you know, I'm sure that they take no solace out of. But anywho, so I think America has gone soft. So I did not even think of this. So Jared Garantano on Saturday tries to fake, right? Like, or I don't even know what he was trying to do. I mean, he's trying to sneak it in for a touchdown. Fumbles the ball. Alabama runs it back for a touchdown. And all of a sudden, you know, Garantano comes out of the game and Pruitt grabs his, just touches his face mask, right? Not a big deal, right?
No.
So I'm watching Get Up this morning and they are breaking it down with Marcus Spears and Desmond Howard about Jeremy Pruitt touching the face mask. This is what they said.
Let's show you the video here. This is going to be Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt. And you're going to see him grabbing a player by the face mask. The player is the quarterback, Jarrett Garantano. This was a goal line fumble, so it's obviously not a great play here. And you're going to see, as he comes over to the sideline, just stay with it, grabbing the face mask. It's not violent, but it is a brief moment there. Swagoo, I'm going to put 60 seconds on the clock, and I really want to let you have the floor. What did you make of that?
Let me preface this by saying that that wasn't egregious. The one that Jimbo Fisher had last year was egregious. I don't think you do that. Here's my issue, though, G. You don't know the reaction of these players. That's my issue. Everybody talks about, well, it's soft now. And let me tell you something. I played 9 years in the damn NFL with grown men that didn't give a damn about your feelings. What I see when I see that situation, though, is a power move, right? You won't do that. What if we saw a coach make a bad call and a player go grab his head and be like, what the hell are you doing? So that's my issue with it.
So they make the big deal about the grabbing of Jarrett Garantano's face mask. And you heard Marcus Spears say, you know, it's kind of a football thing. Well, then Desmond Howard gave his take and Greenberg gave his take on it. This is what they said on Get Up this morning.
In my opinion, that acted like that. But they knew who to act like that towards and who not to act like that towards. So that's the biggest difference.
Yeah. You better know who you're doing it to.
Exactly.
Trust me.
I don't think this is that complicated. Keep your hand off it. I mean, it's just that simple.
Absolutely.
Keep your hand off.
Keep it. Who cares? Who cares that Pruitt just touched the face mask, Greeny? I mean, I don't know what's wrong with grabbing a kid's face mask in football.
Well, I mean, that wasn't even a grab.
No, it was like a little caress.
He put like a finger up there too, and I think the purpose was to move the quarterback's head to face him, so he could talk to him eye to eye. So it didn't bother me in the slightest. If somebody hadn't have brought it up, I would have never even mentioned it, never even noticed it.
Trevor Maddich joins us now, ESPN college football analyst. Trevor, your thoughts on the Jeremy Pruitt face mask grab, and do you have a problem with it?
Under the circumstances, I don't. If it had been a play that just didn't work out, in other words, had he tried to jump with a sneak over the top when he wanted him to run the quarterback sneak but keep the ball down low, then it would have been over the top to grab his face mask. Keep in mind that Jeremy Pruitt walked about 4 yards out onto the field, pointed at Garantano, and then as Garantano was still on the field, walking off the field, looking at where he was going, that's when the little face mask grab happened. If that had been the case, then I would have said that was too much. It was not necessary to show up your quarterback like that. Here's the problem. The starting quarterback was out with a concussion, I guess, and this was your guy. This was your chance to win the game. They were playing Alabama close, even though they played 27 freshmen and sophomores. They still played Alabama close at Alabama. And this play was actually a power play to the left. And it would have been a walk-in. It was a perfect call by offensive coordinator Jim Chaney. Basically, it was locked down on the pile of players, of defenders that were inside, pull a guard and kick out the end man. And as it worked out, it worked perfectly. The 10 men on the defense were jammed on the inside, and the guard was kicking out the end man. And if he'd have handed it off, Garantano, it would have been a touchdown. And it would have brought them into a one-score game midway through the fourth quarter. Instead, while the offense ran the correct play, the quarterback decided to do a quarterback sneak. The offensive line wasn't blocking quarterback sneak. As a matter of fact, the left guard who pulled left a gaping hole that the defense came through, and that was part of the group that stopped him. Then, of course, he fumbles the ball. They pick it up and go 100 yards for a touchdown the other way, and that's what broke open the game for Alabama finally, right? So this was a moment where the quarterback decided that he would veto the play call and not tell anybody else about it. Now, if that's what happened, now he might think that he misheard the play, but everybody else heard the play right.
Well, isn't he the one that tells him what the play is?
He's the one that tells everybody else what the play is. That's right. And although a lot of times they'll all look at the sideline, but the quarterback, if he's the only, I'm just trying to lay out a possibility that there's something that we don't know, because right now it looks like Garantano decided that he was gonna freelance when the play that was called would have scored a touchdown. Now, that's the backdrop. That's what sets it up. Now Garantano's walking off the field. Now the coach comes out 5 yards, 4 yards on the field and is pointing at him, right? Then he grabs his face mask, just a quick little jerk on the bottom of his face mask. Now, the original question, Jared, was, do I have a problem with that? In this circumstance, here's why I do not. When a player gets emotional, when a player loses his composure, when a player gets outside of what the coaches are asking him to do, sometimes a coach has to do something to get him reset, to get him mentally reset. For some players, that's you talk to them. For some players, you ignore them. For some players, you give them a little push, a physical contact. So you push him in the shoulder, you just a little snatch on his face mask kind of a thing. And I think that because he was the last quarterback that had a chance for them to win the game, and the game that's still at the moment of that play call was winnable, I got the impression that what he was trying to do was get Garantano reset to do what the coaches were asking him to do. If it were just to punish him for physically making a poor play, then I would be all over Pruitt for it. But the door is open for the reason for Pruitt to grab that face mask like he did was to mentally reset his quarterback and get him back into the here and now. And if that's the case, then it was absolutely the right thing to do and the best thing to do for the player.
Trev, we were talking about the upper echelon players at the beginning, teams at the beginning of the year this year, and for whatever reason, some injuries, some just playing poor, you look at Clemson, Georgia, and Alabama, and right now you're not thinking they're among the best in the country.
Yeah, you're right. And well, among the best, sure, but unbeatable elites, no. As we know, Georgia's already gotten a loss, and Clemson and now Alabama look like they have some real issues. They all have their own reasons for it. Georgia, we've talked about this all year. They've got an outstanding running game, but they've got all new receivers, basically, for their quarterback, Jake Fromm. NFL quarterback and no one to throw to that he's got any chemistry with yet because they're new or they're young or they're both new and young. And so from the beginning of the season on tape, I've noticed that while the short passing game has been fine, the long passing game over the top, you know, where the ball travels 15 yards in the air or more, has been really bad. It's just not in sync. And part of the reason, I think, again, is the chemistry between quarterback and receiver. Well, that allows defenders to come up and jam up the short passes and jam up the run, and that's exactly what South Carolina did to beat them. And when they get into games against the elite, Florida's coming right up. You know, they will need to either prove that they are so good that they can just mash you, or they'll need to get that chemistry squared away, but that's their vulnerability. For Alabama, Tua Tagovailoa is now out. How long will he be out? Well, I'd be surprised if he doesn't come back for the LSU game, but he will still probably be limited for that game because he's had surgery, for goodness sake. And so the and they've got a lot of young guys on the defense. Alabama's offense, they ran the ball pretty well against Tennessee, but over the course of the season, they have not been the overpowering rushing juggernaut that we've known them to be. And if the quarterback is not able to hit those receivers, they're going to have to run the ball better. And so this is where they're vulnerable. Plus, they got the young guys on defense, of course. And then the third team was Clemson. Yeah, Clemson's offense is just really clunky. It's really clunky. And at this point in the season, I thought Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback, would have already broken out. I thought he would have already put his slow start behind him and began to just light people up. Instead, what we saw is what we saw against Louisville, where, yeah, they got lots of yards, lots of points, I get it. But he was throwing the ball up for grabs into the end zone, had a couple of them picked off. One of them, his guy went up and got it, like they did all year last year. But now, whereas last year it looked like he was trusting his receivers and putting it where they could get it, this year it's looking more like he's throwing the ball up for grabs and hoping. That's a completely different thing. I mean, a lot of the pinpoint passers will know that their guy can jump up to a certain spot that the defender can't get, and he'll throw that ball to that spot, and it's 8 inches away from an interception, but it's not really that close. So I worry that Trevor Lawrence is throwing the ball up for grabs and isn't fixing it. And so, you know, he's not going to really be challenged by any defense until he gets to the playoff, if they make the playoff. But right now, this is not a playoff-caliber offense.
That was Trevor Maddux on with us earlier in the week. Jared and the GM, we want to apologize for the abrupt send a break that we just had at the top of the hour. Our on-site engineer, Dave, needed, required medical assistance. Floyd, I know you and I, you were over there with Dave. We hope Dave's going to be okay.
Yes, we do.
So we really, Dave's a real valued member of our team. You know, one of the behind-the-scenes guys. I mean, he's with us as much as anybody, honestly. Every time Jared and the GM, we do something, whether it's out here at Tavern or at the George Jones or yesterday over at Drake's. I mean, Dave is as much a part of this show as Floyd, I, Ian, Ryan, everybody else. So luckily we rushed out to get medical attention. And obviously the fine folks at Bridgestone Arena did a great job. The people here at Pete and Terry's Tavern did a great job. And we got the EMS here on site. And we're hoping for the best for Dave for whatever it may be. So if you're the praying type, say something for our buddy Dave Stripling, who, again, is as much a part of the show as any of us. So we were attending to that situation, so we apologize. We got a lot of tweets, people wondering what happened. That's what happened. We don't really know any more than that, but we're thinking about our buddy Dave. We're going to go on with Ask the GM. So, Ian, I don't even know what we're giving away. So, a pair of tickets to Incubus.
At the Ryman Auditorium on November 27th.
So, best question for the GM. Let's load them up. Everything's on the table for Floyd. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Again, the best question for the GM. Ask the GM. We're just starting it a little bit late this time, so just get them locked and loaded in for Floyd. The best question, win a pair of tickets to see Incubus at the Ryman Auditorium for Ask the GM. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jared and the GM, we're live from Pete and Terry's Tap House. It's ESPN 1025.
The game. The GM speaks.
A little bit of the personality.
Everybody listens.
They understand every situation.
And we're giving you exclusive access to Pick the Brain of former Titans GM Floyd Reese.
Brought to you by Pella Windows of Nashville and Bob's Steak and Chop House.
Call 615-737-1025 now.
You're never going to make a mistake.
This is Ask the GM.
Ask the GM is presented by Bob Steak at Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. Jared and the GM live from Pete and Terry's Tap House here at Bridgestone Arena. Predators game day, of course, coming up later today. We'll go to your phones. Best call for the GM, best question for the GM. Won a pair of tickets to Incubus at the Ryman Auditorium. By the way, Floyd, I did want to get to this. Chad tweets in. So I was saying that for Halloween, next Thursday when we're here, I think we should dress up. And I think Floyd should dress up as Santa Claus, which Floyd is requiring a $10,000 donation in order for him to dress up as Santa Claus on Halloween. Chad on Twitter says, if you want it done, get Floyd's grandkids to call in and ask him to dress like Santa. There's no way he'll say no to that. So my ask good the GM point. Is, if the grandkids call in and ask for you to dress up like Santa, would you?
I don't know. That would be tough.
Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak and Chop House, Pella Windows of Nashville. We go right to your phones. Jerry is going to kick us off here on Ask the GM. Jerry, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Mr. GM, your question is, what was the pick that you were the most proud of, and what was the pick that you were the most disgusted with that you made?
Wow.
Thank you, Jerry.
You know, it's funny because it's easy to look at the top picks and think that, you know, that was, you drafted a Pro Bowl caliber player in a first round pick, but that's what you're supposed to do. Still, you know, we had some good ones. I think when you get a Pro Bowl caliber player later on in the draft, that's always a thrill. You know, when you can get a John Runyon in the fourth round, or you get a
D. Mace
in the fourth round. I was thinking Cortland Finnegan in the seventh round. Or even you bring in Drew Bennett as a free agent, you know, cost you like $2,000, and he ends up being a starter and a pretty good player for a number of years. So you probably get more pleasure out of those down-the-line guys a little bit. Not taking anything away from those upper echelon guys, because they, you know, they were going to be great players. But most of those guys you expect to. You know, the one I felt the worst about in my whole career, I think, was a guy we drafted out of Alcorn State named Brian Mix. And the reason that it bothered me so much was I watched every game he played. I went and saw the kid. I was around the kid. And I could not fall in love with him. I just couldn't. I couldn't see the production. I couldn't see him make plays. I couldn't see him do the things that I was looking for. And yet, literally everybody in the organization loved him. Everybody in the organization thought this guy was going to be a great player. And I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying that, you know, there were a lot of people convinced he was going to be a great player. And we ended up taking him, and, you know, he ended up being pretty much what we thought he was. So,
well, not, you know, we. If everybody loved him except for you, then
yeah,
but you thought,
I mean,
he was.
I took him. So, you know, it becomes a we after you take him. And I think that disgusted me the most because, you know, I thought I knew, but I didn't have the guts to hang in with it. You know, I kind of gave in and it ended up costing me. So, you know, and I always felt like if I'm going to get fired for my draft picks, it's going to be because it's my decision, not anybody else's. I didn't want anybody else to make the picks. I didn't want, because it was my butt. And so I was going to make sure that, you know, I thought I knew what I was doing. That certainly doesn't mean I was right all the time, because we know that's not the case. But you certainly try to be.
Let's go to Barry, who's up next here on Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak at Chop House and Pella Windows in Nashville. Barry, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Gentlemen, first-time caller on any radio show, I just want to say thank you for making the drive for the hour-long trip each day. Actually, something I look forward to. My question for
the GM... We really
appreciate
that, by the way.
What would be... Obviously, you've been very successful with football. What other career would you have done if football was not your career?
Huh.
That's a great question.
Cooking?
After I, by the way, that's a nice call. We really appreciate that. But when I graduated from college, I went back to UCLA and got my master's in kinesiology and actually was offered a job at Ford Motor Company way, way back when as a, I guess what you would call a health consultant of some sort. What they wanted me to do is they wanted me to come in and develop these workout programs for the executives and, you know, anybody that wanted it. But generally speaking, you know, the executive office. And it was, I mean, it was a very nice job, very highly paid and something that, you know, at that point in time, when you just graduated from college, you didn't have anything. You know, you kind of looked at that and you thought, wow, you know, this could be a nice start. And then back then I started thinking, well, you know, how many places, how many other jobs could you get like this? Well, as it turned out, you know, it's a giant thriving business. But you know, I'm going to guess I would have gone into something like that where I would have been some kind of a healthcare specialist of some sort.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of where my master's was taking me. You know, I got my master's in kinesiology only because I wanted to get a master's. And I wanted something that I thought could help me coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And kinesiology, of course, has to do with the human body and all the ins and outs. And so I thought, okay, that'd be perfect. You know, you learn about the body and what you can and can't do, and that should help you coaching. And it did help me get my first, helped me get in the NFL, as a matter of fact. But.
So my thing is you didn't want to go with your major, political science? You didn't want to be a politician? I mean, you do
no.
a great job of talking the fence. No. I mean, Floyd Reese interested in running for mayor if you had not gone into the NFL?
No.
Floyd Reese, president of the United States?
No. After seeing politicians at work, that would be the last thing.
You'd rather be on the radio?
Anything is better.
Let's get another batch of calls for the GM. 615-737-1025. Again, two good calls, but we'll keep running through them. 615-737-1025. Got a line open if you want to get in. Again, best call for the GM. We'll win a pair of tickets to see Incubus. That's right, Incubus at the Ryman Auditorium. Ian, what's that date again?
November 27th.
November 27th, right around Thanksgiving. Incubus at Bridgestone Arena, 615-737-1025. Authentically American. As you all know, we love rocking Authentically American here. If you go to my Instagram at TheJaredStillman, you can see me rocking their new Sweat Ink. If you want to redo your wardrobe, maybe you need new polo shirts, it's wintertime, sweaters, you can go to Authentically American and either get outfitted for just you or for your entire business like we have. It's simple. They've got everything at Authentically American, and everything there is made in the USA. And here's a bonus. If you use my name, Jared, at checkout, J-A-R-E-D, you will get 20% off. That's right, 20% off your order with my name, Jared, J-A-R-E-D, at checkout. That's Authentically American. The next iconic brand that is truly American-made. Jared and the GM at ESPN 102.5, The Game. Jared of the GM, Ask the GM, is presented by Bob Steak at Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. Pushed back a segment today, but we're still getting rocking and rolling with the calls. By the way, Floyd, I do want to say something before we get back to the phones.
Okay.
I do want to thank and recognize the Bridgestone Arena EMS staff and the people here at Pete and Terry's Tavern that did a great job, with our on-site engineer, Dave, who is now in the hands of the Bridgestone Arena EMS staff. We want to thank them for their attentiveness, the immediacy in which they were able to attend to Dave, and, of course, their responsiveness. I thought that it was very, very well done given the circumstances. Let's get back to the calls for Ask the GM. Bob is up next on Ask the GM. Presenter Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. Bob, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, fellas, love your show.
Thank you.
Floyd, I want to ask you, getting ready for Tampa Bay, Mike Evans is an established NFL receiver. He's had, you know, tons of yardage, tons of touchdowns. He's been around for several years now. Are the Titans going to be more worried about him or Chris Godwin, who has been red hot this year with multiple 100-yard games, what are you more concerned with getting ready for Tampa?
Yeah, that's interesting because Godwin is really, really playing well. He is, I want to say he's like top two or three in the league in receiving. I mean, he's way up there. Evans, we've known about for a while. Evans is a problem because he is so big. He is a, you know, he is a 6'5", 230-pound kind of guy. And what they do is they get, he goes out there and they throw jump balls and he can out-jump all the corners, you know, that he plays against. And so it becomes a little bit of a basketball game. Godwin is just, he runs good patterns. He can run past you. I mean, he is really playing well. So I'm not sure. They're different kind of receivers. You know, I think Godwin, off the top of my head, is the guy that might scare you deep the most, which always scares any defensive coach. But Evans is one of those guys that, you know, he can go out any week and catch six or seven or eight for 150, 160 yards. And that's what you know, you don't want him to continue to hold on to the ball. But they both those receivers are big-time quality receivers. And the guy that concerns me, especially after last week and some of the things that we've seen, are the tight ends. You know, we have not – their tight ends have done very little. But after what they saw last week, I think they have to look at this game and go, okay, we'll be ready.
John is up next here on Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak at Chop House and Pella Windows in Nashville. John, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, Jared. Hey, Floyd.
What's up?
I wanted to ask you about Tannehill. If he has a solid year and somehow gets us into the playoffs, if you were John Robinson, would you sign him to a big deal?
Thank you, John.
You know, I'm sure I would negotiate with him. It depends on what the coaches said, but if everybody was in favor, I'm sure I would negotiate and probably try, probably to see what kind of a deal we could get. You know, the term big deal always scares me because, you know, I'm not sure you can jump out and pay a guy $27 million a year off of 10 games. Maybe you have no choice. I would say this. If he did that for the Titans, he would probably be able to get that kind of money someplace from somebody. And that may be all he needs. But I think if, in fact, he were to be productive like that, it would have to be one of those cases that you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, what are the options here? And the truth is, if you've got a guy that just took a, you know, 2-4 team and got him to the playoffs, you know, you're probably not going to find a lot of guys that can do that for you other than the obvious. So, you know, you're going to try to get the best deal you can and go ahead and sign him, and he probably ends up being your guy.
Don is up next here on Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak at Chop House and Pella Windows in Nashville. By the way, there's no way I can get a deal on Tannehill to be my franchise quarterback? Guess not. Go ahead, Don.
Afternoon, gentlemen. GM.
Good.
Yes, sir.
I know you've been here for a while with the NFL. I just want to know your best offensive player you ever been around and the best defensive player you ever been around. If you coached them or drafted them or what, your best two.
Oh, thank you. And Tom Brady, you cannot use him. Because that's too obvious.
Yeah, Brady was probably easy. The best offensive player. Wow. I guess other than Brady, it'd probably have to be Gronk or Edelman, one of those guys.
Ahead of Eddie George?
Probably. Not taking a single thing away from Eddie, but...
But like Gronk and Edelman are going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, those guys were truly, truly elite. You know, Eddie was fantastic. I mean, the Bruce Matthews and Mike Munchaks and guys like that that you're around, I mean, those guys are already in the Hall of Fame, and they're elite, but they're a position that, you know, doesn't carry all the clout that a receiver or a running back or... you know, everybody wants to look at those and think of those guys as stars. So I think that affects you a little bit. Defense, that's a tough one now.
Well, you were on those Minnesota defenses that had all those superstars.
Yeah, we I don't know. I mean, I was with some defensive linemen that led the league in sacks. You know, Keith Millard was there. We drafted him in the first round when I was at Minnesota, and he ended up going to the USFL and then came back to the NFL and was an outstanding player. Chris Dolman, a Hall of Fame defensive end. You know, I
didn't coached. You coach the guy who has like the all-time record for NFL interceptions?
Krause, yeah, Krause leads the league or has the NFL record for interceptions. But Krause was not. Krause was a great football player, great instincts. But I mean, if you saw his body, you would be shocked compared to what they are now. You know. I mean, I Matt Blair off of that team was all pro every year for a number of years when all pro meant something. You know, Haynesworth here was an outstanding player.
Curse
was an outstanding player. I mean, we were lucky. There were a few people we've been around that were really, really big time that way.
So I think it's easy to say Brady, right? Like, Brady is the best player you've ever been around that your organization had when you were there, and I don't think anybody would ever dispute that because Brady is honestly arguably the greatest player who ever lived.
Right.
So it's easy to sit back and say Brady. I would have to say that if it were me and I were picking and I were saying, okay, of my, as a fan watching them, you know, who are the best players that Floyd has ever been around? And I could put the Patriots into this. I think Gronk is certainly up there. To me, it would be between Curse and Haynesworth for the Titans. That they were the two best, just when you talk about raw talent, game-changing ability, you know, at their peaks, Curse and Haynesworth, I think, were the two best players maybe the Titans have ever had, but especially on the defensive side of the ball. But then I think about, you know, well, Keith Bullitt could kind of do everything on defense.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
And so there's a lot of other guys that I think I factor into the equation. On offense, where I really get hung up is I think back to those Titan offenses. They had so many good players. I'm not sure outside of Bruce Matthews any of them will ever make it to the Hall of Fame. I'm inclined to think D. Mace might have been the best all-around offensive player of that Titan era only because of how dynamic he was and the longevity of his career. Because he
versatility.
Was
versatility,
yeah,
could do
all-purpose
many
yards. Oh, yeah. You know, punt return, kick return, wide number one wide receiver. And it's not a knock to Steve McNair or Eddie George. I think there's a chance. I'd say D. Mace would probably be somewhere on the list. By the way, and I know we touched on this a little bit, but I think it's pretty cool that D. Mace and Chris Johnson are going to be the 12th Titans this week as they honor them before the game, and I'll just say this. I think it's even though D. Mace did retire a Baltimore Raven, I think it's important for the Titans to recognize his contributions to the organization because he was such a great player when he was here. You want to know how good of a player D. Mace was when he was on the Titans? The other day, somebody called into the morning show, and it was Monday after the Titans had the goal line stand against the Chargers. And somebody called into the morning show and said something along the lines of, you know, I remember D. Mace when you played, and there was a goal line stand at Cleveland, and that got the team going, and that the team carried on that. And I text Nick right then and there, and I said, no, it was Cincinnati. It was 2002. It was Cincinnati, and D. Mace basically won the game for them. And so Nick then says on air, he goes, Stillman just texted me and said that it was 2002 against Cincinnati, and that Derek basically won the game for them. You remember that, D. Mace? And Derek goes, nah, don't remember that. Derek had like 3 touchdowns in that game. Well, you got to have a lot of good games if you can't remember essentially, you know, having 3 touchdowns or 2 touchdowns or whatever it was, and single-handedly kind of putting your team over the top offensively. You gotta have a lot of games if you can't remember a game like that.
Right. And Derek did. I mean, there were...
He was a great player.
He was a great player.
A great player. Al is up next. here on Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak at Chop House and Pella Windows in Nashville. Al, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, guys. How are you? Floyd, I just had a question for you. I put a lot of thought into this. What would you like your legacy to be? All the great players you worked with, all the contacts, all the people you've met over your lifelong career, your radio career, what would you like people to really remember you by and what you stand for? And that's my question to you guys today, to you, sir.
Thank you, Al.
I mean, I have no clue.
Well, you're the kind of guy who I think would say whatever you want to write about.
That's it. You know, I mean, whatever they're going to say about me. I have never, ever worried about things like that. Never, ever thought much about things like that. Simply because it doesn't matter. You know, if I said I want to be known as X, well, I mean, when I'm gone, people are going to say Y about you anyway. And so, you know, it's going to be whatever those that are a lot smarter than I am decide it should be or shouldn't be, whatever the case may be. So I don't think much about that. I figure that'll be left up to other people smarter than me.
So I you know, it's weird because they always tell you on the radio, they say, you know, people don't care about talking about, you know, who's the greatest Dallas Cowboy of all time. Like, nobody cares. Like, talk about, you know, what's coming up. And so I don't like to go too back, you know, in the rearview mirror or anything like that. But it's easy for me to think back to my childhood and think about how good those old Titan teams were and how hard they fought, and not to think that your legacy will probably be, you know, about creating a franchise in a city that took over a region. I mean, when you look back to it, you'll look at how you were able to take the Titans to the Super Bowl in this town, which was viewed as a very minor league-ish kind of town. And we had, you know, the Vols and Vandy, but we didn't have anything special up until that point. And the fact that you took this town to the Super Bowl, you know, that is the pinnacle of success. And we're now a big-time major town. And if you don't think that your success as a general manager led to a lot of what Nashville has become, I think that would be kind of foolish. So if I were to say your legacy, I think it probably rests somewhere on that. I also think that climate change, which is infinitely worse than you, I do think climate change has also helped raise Nashville's profile as a city when your winters are now 55 instead of 45. I feel like that makes it a more hospitable place that people want to live. So Floyd Reese and climate change. Why Nashville has exploded. Predators Game Day, Preds and Wild, is next. And, of course, Predators Game Day is brought to you by Geno's East and my friend T.J. Anderson. Let me tell you what. I actually was looking at houses with T.J. earlier this week, and T.J. was showing me the ins and outs, and there are so many things about home buying that even as someone who's bought a home and thought I knew everything, that I didn't know until I was sitting there talking to T.J. T.J. Anderson is truly an expert. And that's why you've got to get with TJ. If you're buying a home, maybe you've bought in the past and maybe you want a new realtor or the person that you bought from is not there anymore, buy with TJ. He knows this market. He knows to say, hey, that neighborhood right now, maybe those prices are a little too high. This neighborhood is exactly where you want to be. TJ knows. Trust me. Also, if you're selling, TJAndersonHomes.com has tons of people going there every day, thousands. So what you want to do is you want to get your house in front of all of those thousands of people going to TJAndersonHomes.com. It is win-win with TJ Anderson. He's just like me and you. When you talk to TJ Anderson Homes, part of Benchmark Realty, yes, he's got a team. But you're not talking just to the team. You're talking to TJ, not like somebody else who just has you as one of 1 million, just not with TJ. That's why I love telling you about TJ Anderson. TJ Anderson Homes, TJAndersonHomes.com, part of Benchmark Realty. Jared and the GM, Preds Game Day next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's Game Day in Smashville, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes and Geno's East. What are Peter Laviolette's keys to the game? Who will be in and out of the lineup? It's time to break it all down on Jared and the GM on your flagship home of Smashville.
ESPN 102.5.
1025 The Game.
Predators Game Day presented by TJ Anderson Homes. You all know about my buddy TJ Anderson and Geno's East. Get a historic slice of Chicago deep dish tradition before or after the game. Geno's East on the corner of 3rd and Korean Vets. Info at genoseast.com/Nashville. Tonight against the crummy Minnesota Wild, the Nashville Predators, 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is now time to take a look at the Anaheim Ducks game, or excuse me, at the coach's take, where Peter Laviolette addresses the Anaheim Ducks game and the Vegas game as well, but still wants to see a little bit more. Of course, the coach's take is presented by TJ Anderson Homes. Your road to real estate begins at tjandersonhomes.com.
I thought in Vegas we came strong in the last 40 minutes to win a hockey game. Might have been the strongest 40 all year. So while we did some good things offensively last game, defensively, Pekka had to make a lot of saves, a lot of really tough saves, big saves, and I'd like to clean that up a little bit more. It's something we continue to talk about, just attention to details versus their rush. It's some chances coming back the other way, but it was a good win, good effort by the team. We're still working on things though.
Floyd, I think that we can say both wins were really impressive. When you look at the scoreboard, obviously the Anaheim game was super impressive, but I agree with Peter. I thought the team effort in the Vegas game, the way that they played, was just the best that I've seen all year. So I'm not taking anything away from Anaheim, but Pekka did have to make a lot of good saves. You want to see them dial it in and be able to lock it in consistently, and the way they played against a good Vegas team and a good Anaheim team probably gives us hope going forward.
Well, you've got so much depth, and you know, even though the lines change, the production doesn't seem to change a great deal. And I think because of that, you know, you're constantly thinking, okay, we got fresh guys on the ice, let's go. They'll make something happen, and we've seen that. It has to be a tremendous morale booster to have everybody on the team not only getting to play but being productive. You know, they want to get back out there.
Meanwhile, Robbie Stanley of NHL.com reported earlier today, Philip Forsberg, as we take a look at the injury report, Philip Forsberg skated by himself for an hour, or about an hour, before morning skate began this morning, taking that as a sign that Forsberg will be out once again with a lower body injury. So expect no Philip Forsberg tonight for the Predators. But, you know, if the Predators were losing and weren't scoring, all we'd be hearing about is, they can't do it without Forsberg's start. But I think I've been impressed, especially the other night, with how productive they were offensively without Forsberg.
6 goals? I mean, you know, you're scoring goals left and right without Forsberg. So you can imagine, you know, how excited they're going to be to get him back.
If we take a look at the standings, the difference between these two teams, Floyd, they each have played 9 games. The Predators have 5 more points in second place with 11. The Colorado Avalanche lead the division 7-1-1 with 15 points. Predators and Blues both have 11 through 9 games. Winnipeg, 10 points through 11 games. Dallas, boy, they are just terrible this year. 3-7-1 for 7 points. Nobody saw that coming. Chicago down towards the basement, although they've only played 7 games. They've got 6 points. 9 games for the Wild, 6 points for Minnesota. They come in at 3-6-0. Floyd Reese tonight, the Minnesota Wild take on the Nashville Predators right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game at 7 o'clock. Live from Bridgestone Arena with the voice of the Nashville Predators, Pete Weber. What are you watching for tonight?
You know what I would love to continue to see are some of the guys that haven't been every game scorers for us, that have been scoring, continue to score.
Tourist
Sessions, guys like that, you know, where they go in and they really, really help out, because every time one of those down-the-line guys continues to score, I think the attitude, morale, confidence of this team has to skyrocket.
Your first reaction will be tomorrow on Morning Drive at 6 o'clock. Of course, the post-game show immediately follows tonight's Preds Wild game. Darren McFarland, Hal Gill, live from Barrel House inside of Bridgestone Arena. Morning Drive at 6 o'clock will be your first chance to react. Darren, Donick, and Chase in the midday. And then, of course, we're back for a Fireball Hot Take Friday tomorrow at 2. Jared the GM, we're out of here. Predators pregame is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.